Yes. Yep.
Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa. Wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa amma ba'd. So Hussein, I'm not sure if you are getting the recordings. Are you getting the recordings?
No, I haven't been sent them.
So the recordings are on the Wise app and the Wise website, I think. So you can catch up the stuff, okay, that you missed. So we were discussing the issue of Mahfuz and Shaz. And we mentioned that if there are two riwayats, okay, of the same hadith, two different versions of the same hadith, and if in both versions of the same ahadith, the in the isnads are thiqa rawis, the rawis are authentic, okay? However, and the versions are slightly different than each other, then which one do we accept? So so you go with the one which is called the arjah. Arjah basically means either the rawi is a stronger rawi than the one who was doing mukhalafa, or there are more rawis there are more rawis on this, and therefore they become arjah. Just 1 minute. Yeah. Just 1 minute, Hussein.
Yeah, sure.
No. Sorry about that. So the Shaz and Mahfuz, the Shaz is the riwaya of the thiqa rawi who goes against the more awthaq rawi, or the rawi or the riwayat which has got more thiqa rawi. So he's outnumbered, okay? So the his riwayat is called Shaz, and the one that is to be accepted is called Mahfuz. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. وَمِثَالُ ذَلِكَ مَا رَوَاهُ التِّرْمِذِي وَالنَّسَائِي وَابْنُ مَاجَا مِنْ طَرِيقِ إِبْنِ عُيَيْنَةَ عَنْ عَمْرِ بْنِ دِينَارَ عَنْ عَوْسَجَةَ عَنْ إِبْنِ عَبَّاسَ أَنَّ رَجُلًا تَوَفَّى عَلَى عَهْدِ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَلَمْ يَدَعْ وَارِثًا إِلَّا مَوْلًا هُوَ أَعْتَقَهُ. So this hadith is hadith narrated in Tirmizi and Nasai Ibn Majah, is going to show us the what is Shadh and what is Mahfuz, okay? And this is narrated by Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a person died and he didn't have anyone to bequeath his inheritance to, other than a servant that he has freed. And the Prophet ﷺ said, then this freed servant becomes the one who inherits from him. Al-Hadith. وَتَابَعَ إِبْنَ عُيَيْنَ عَلَى وَصْلِهِ إِبْنِ جُرَيْجِ وَغَيْرُهُ وَخَالَفَهُمْ حَمَّادُ بْنِ زَيْدِ فَرَوَاهُ عَنْ عَمْرِ بْنِ دِينَارِ عَنْ عَوْسَجَ وَلَمْ يَذْكُرْ إِبْنِ عَبَّاسِ قَالَ أَبُو حَاتِمِ الْمَحْفُوظُ حَدِيثُ إِبْنِ عُيَيْنَ. So there are other people who have done mutaba'at who have also confirmed. So the ikhtilaf here is whether this hadith is a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, is it marfu', or farawahun Amr ibn an Awsaj walam yazkur qalb, or is it mawquf? Okay. So this is the ikhtilaf, right? So the So حدثنا موسى بن إسماعيل قال حدثنا حماد قال أخبرنا عمرو بن دينار عن عوسجة عن ابن عباس أن رجلا مات ولم يدع وارثا إلا غلاما له كان أعتقه فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. So that's the hadith, right? So Imam Ibn Uyayna, Sufyan Ibn Uyayna, okay, and others, for example, Ibn Juraj and others, have narrated this hadith continuously, in the sense that they take it all the way up to Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But there is somebody else by the name of Hammad ibn Zayd. Okay. Now Hammad ibn Zayd does not walam yaskur Ibn Abbas. So he narrates an Amr ibn Dinar an Awsaja, ani Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so is Mursal. Ibn Abbas is not mentioned. So what is it? Is the hadith maqtu', is it mursal, or is it muttasil? So Imam Ibn Abu Hatim al-Razi rahmatullahi alayhi says al-mahfuzu hadith Ibn Uyayna. The hadith of Ibn Uyayna is the one that is mahfuz, and the hadith of Hammad ibn Zayd is shadh. Okay, now but Hammad ibn Zayd is not a weak rawi. Says Fahammad ibn Zayd min ahli al-adala wa dhabt. Hammad ibn Zayd is from the people of Adala and Dabt. وَمَعَ ذَلِكَ رَجَّهَ أَبُو حَاتِمْ رِوَايَةَ مَنْهُمْ أَكْثَرَ عَدَدًا مِنْهُمْ. Despite that, Abu Hatim has given privilege to the riwayah of the ones which have more numbers. So Hammad ibn Zayd is on his own, but then you've got Ibn Uyayna, and you've got Ibn Juraj, and you've got Hammad ibn Salama and others who do wasal of it to Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala. Just give me 1 minute again, sorry. So what's happening here is that we've got the riwayat of Hammad ibn Zayd. Now Hammad ibn Zayd, he misses out Ibn Abbas, right? But the others, they do wasal, they do ittisal. All of them are siqarawi, but what happens is that Hammad ibn Zayd is outnumbered by Ibn Juraj, Hammad ibn Salama, Ibn Uyayna, and therefore because all of these ruwat, all of these scholars of hadith are of the same caliber, then here we go with the quantitative element, right? If they were not of the same caliber, then obviously the one who is qualitatively greater will be rajih. But because here they're all of the same caliber, then quantitatively the others trumps, because there's three against one. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So if we look at, so this is the hadith from, where is it? So this is Abu Dawood, right? حدثنا موسى بن إسماعيل قال حدثنا حماد. So this Hammad is not Hammad ibn Zayd, is Hammad ibn Salama. Okay. أخبرنا عمر بن دينار عن عوسجة عن ابن أباس رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رجلا مات ولم يدع وارثا إلا غلاما له كان أعتقه فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم هل له أحد؟ قالوا لا إلا غلاما له كان أعتقه فجعل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ميراثه له. So this is from the تحفة الأشراف. I just looked at the Isnad transmission from Tuhfatul Ashraf. So Awsaja al-Makki, Mawla ibn Abbas, an ibn Abbas. So in Abu Dawood, in Tirmizi, in Nasa'i, in Bayhaqi hadith, anna rajula mata wa lam yada'a warithan illa ghulaman lahu kana a'taqahu. Abu Dawood Faraiz, the person in Faraiz is Hammad ibn Salama. Because actually, when I checked up this riwayat in Abu Dawood and other places, and I just saw Hammad here, I got quite confused, because Ibn Hajar is saying Hammad doesn't do wasal of it, but then clearly in Abu Dawood it shows that Hammad is doing wasal of it. So I had to kind of then dig a bit more to see whether it's the Hammad that Imam Abu Dawood is talking about, and then realized that no, Imam Ibn Hajar is talking about Hammad ibn Zayd. The one in Abu Dawood is Hammad ibn Salama. Okay, and that's why I went to Tuhfatul Ashraf, and I had to check it out. Yeah. So sometimes they don't mention the same names. It can get confusing, then you have to do a bit more investigation. Okay. So this is the one, right? So here is the أن رجل مات فقال no, that's a different one. Yeah, so that was just basically me investigating the Hamad ibn Salama. So here we have. Sorry.
The screen you had before, that hadith, that's the Shad one. It stops at an Ibn Dinar and thingy. Ibn Dinar. This one.
Yeah. And Amr ibn Dinar. This is قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن ابن نوس. It's there, you see.
Yeah, so this is the Shaz one.
It's not Shaz. The reason why it's not Shaz, can you see this, is although it looks like it's Shaz, and Amr ibn Dinar. Anna rajul al-mata fazakra qultu man haddathaka. Then it says Awsa jan ibn Abbas. So although when he narrated the isnad, he didn't say this, but then it's not Shaz because he's giving the Shaz one is not mentioned here. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, it's not Shaz because he's actually mentioning it afterwards.
He does the wasal in the text.
In the text, yeah.
Well, I have a question. Slightly off topic, but I think while you're scrolling, I saw something that Awsaja is the freed slave of Ibn Abbas.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Sorry?
Yeah. Is Awsaja a freed slave of Ibn Abbas?
Yeah, Mawla Ibn Abbas, yeah.
So isn't there a conflict of interest in a sense? Like this hadith about how a freed slave will become inheritor of a person who has no relatives. The only person who writes this hadith happens to be a freed slave.
Yeah, I mean, we can look at it that way. That question is... it's a genuine question, but it's a question that is not within ulum al-hadith. Okay? We need to take that into a different discipline, which is the sharh of hadith. But from the point of view of ulum al-hadith, that's not the question that is... It's not the issue. And from the point of ulum al-hadith, they won't actually look at that, those kind of biases. I understand that there is a bias there, conflict of interest, but purely from the point of ulum al-hadith, of ittisal, wasal, and they're not going to look at that.
Because even I think I read somewhere there, they said, Awsaja, you know, laysa bi mashhur, and they don't know anybody else who narrated this.
Yeah, that's fine. But Awsaja is mashhur as a mawla of Ibn Abbas. Yeah.
Okay.
When he's talking about Awsaja laysa bi mashhur, it might be that he only narrates the only the narrations of Ibn Abbas and nobody else. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Thank you.
We'll have a look. Marks. Let's have a look. Somebody's calling you, Zaid. Zaid, go and answer them. Somebody's calling you. This the keyboard on iPad is a bit different than on the computer. It's one minute, is it, Hussein?
Sure.
So, sorry about this. Right, so what were you doing? So we were looking at Awsaja. His name, Awsaja ibn Awsaja al-Makki. Let's find this. So these are all to, showing those atrafs. It's not giving us.
No, sorry, you were saying?
No, I'm saying, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, so this is, I'm just looking up Aysaja, but this is all giving us Atraf. Let me see if it's giving us a biography. Al-Kamal fi Asma'i Rijal, okay. Aysaja al-Makki al-Qurashi Mawla Abdul ibn Abbas, Rawa an ibn Abbas, Rawa anhu Amr ibn Dinar. قال أبو زرعة مكي ثقة وقال أبو حاتم ليس بمشهور right so he's ثقة but he's not مشهور. مشهور basically means that it's not in a sense it's not a blemish, it's just that he's not a مشهور محدث but he's still ثقة. Somebody might be trustworthy with himself but they might not be famously known. Yeah,
okay,
let's go back. Good, we're just doing it there and there. Yeah, there we go. This is Jam'ul Fawaid. What are they saying here? قال أبو زرعة عوسجة ثقة. Yeah, proper عيل البق. Different filtering. Have you used this before?
No.
This is Shamila, but it's on it's a website version. It's not that good as the actual, but it's for quick references. So it's called Turas, just Turas, but it's actually Shamila. It's quite good if you want to just like do quick lookups. All right, let's look at Ibn Hajar. This one. Awsaja al-Makki Mawla ibn Abbas rawa an Mawlahu ibn Abbas mata rajulun ala ahdi Rasul sallam wa lam yatruk warithan. Oh, so this is the hadith. Mata rajulun ala wa lam yatruk warithan illa abdan wa fatahu sallam bi rasul wa anhu Amr ibn Dinar qala lam yasih hadithu wa qala Abu Had laysa bi wa qala Abu Zur'a Makiyun thiqatun. Okay, so there's different ikhtilaf on him. Abu Zur'a al-Razi is basically calling him thiqa. وَذَكَرُوا إِبْنِ حِبَّانِ فِي الثِّقَاتِ أَخْرَجُوا لَهُ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ الْوَاحِدِ. So it's the only hadith that we have from him. لَيْسَ بِمَشْهُورٍ. Okay. I didn't know that. But خير. But you get the point, right? That
yeah,
the wasal and so now the question is that the real question is, as far as the hadith is concerned, the hadith is sahih. Now, whether the hadith is muttasil or whether hadith is munqati, broken somewhere, yeah, the hadith is still the same. It doesn't have an effect on the matan. So why are we kind of making such a big deal about this? This is a question that rises, yeah? Does that make sense, the question?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, so the answer to that question is that it is related to the craft of hadith. Yeah, the discipline, the fun of hadith. This question relates to the craft of hadith, even though it may not have a effect on the actual matan. So do you remember that example that I gave of, you know, do you use an impact drill or do you use a hammer drill? To
yeah.
You know, drill something, right? As far as whichever drill that you use, it doesn't really matter if the job gets done, right? But experts will know when to use a hammer drill, when to use an impact drill. So this is exactly. So this is about. This is called sana'atul hadithiyah. It's about sana'atul hadithiyah. It's about the craft of the hadith, not necessarily about the outcomes. And a lot of the times, these discussions are about the craft of hadith, not necessarily about the outcome. The outcome, the hadith is still the same. There's no difference in the hadith. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. وعرف من هذا التقرير أن الشاذ ما رواه المقبول مخالفا لما هو أولى منه. So from this it is known, it could be understood from this discussion that Shaz is the one that the Maqbool Rawi has narrated, which is opposite to or which contradicts that liman huwa the riwayat of the person who is more better than him. So there's two definitions here. Is it liman huwa awla or liman huwa arjah? Right. So the actual proper definition of shaz is shaz riwayat thiqa liman huwa arjah mukhalifatan liman huwa arjah minhu. Arjah basically doesn't only bring in awthaq, but also brings in the numbers as well. So arjah is actually better than saying awthaq or awla. Yeah. وهذا هو المعتمد في تعريف الشاذ بحسب الاصطلاح. And he's saying this is the definite position when it comes to explaining what shaz is according to istilah. He's saying this, the reason why he's saying this is because according to some people, and I think also Imam al-Shafi'i, that shaz is mutlaq al-mukhalafa. Yeah. Shaz is mutlaq al-mukhalafa. So anybody who does mukhalafa, right, then the mukhalif is if the person is doing mukhalafa, if that person is goes against the majority, then it's mutlaq al-mukhalafa, whether the person is thiqa or whether the person is not thiqa, that is called shaz. Whereas here he's saying no, the shaz is the mukhalafat of the thiqa rabi. Do you understand the difference?
I don't think so. Sorry, Mona.
Yeah, no, shaz is the mukhalafat of the thiqa rawi, of those who are awthaq or arjah.
Yeah.
Some people say, no, it is not a condition for shaz that the mukhalafat has to be done by a thiqa rawi. Anybody, even if it's a weak rawi doing mukhalafat, that is called shaz.
Okay. Does that make sense? Okay.
Yeah. And I think that's also the opinion of Imam al-Shafi'i, that any mutlaq mukhalafa is shaz. Well, Imam Ibn Hajar is saying the mu'tamad opinion is that the mukhalafat of the thiqa is known as shaz. Yeah. He'll explain further on. وَإِن وَقَعَتِ الْمُخَالَفَ مَعَ الضُّعْفِ. Now, if there is a mukhalafa, now we're going into a different discussion now. If there is a mukhalafa, and the person who's doing the mukhalafa is a weak rawi, فالراجح يقال له المعروف. The راجح is called معروف ومقابله يقال له المنكر. And the opposite to that is the person who's doing مخالفة, the weak rawi, is called munkar. So here we have a difference that if the rawi is weak and the rawi does مخالفة of the more stronger awthaq than him or her, then his riwayat is called munkar and the other riwayat is called ma'aruf. Whereas above they're saying one of the definitions of shaz is mutlaq al-mukhalafa. So in mutlaq al-mukhalafa, even munkar comes in. But they're making a strong distinction. Shaz is the mukhalafat of the thiqa rawi. Munkar is the mukhalafat of the weak rawi. Does that make sense? مثاله ما رواه ابن أبي حاتم. The example of this is what Imam Ibn Abi Hatim al-Razi has narrated من طريق حبيب ابن حبيب وهو أخو حمزة ابن حبيب الزيات المقري. So what Imam Ibn Abi Hatim al-Razi has narrated from the طريق of حبيب ابن حبيب, who is the brother of the one of the سبع or عشرة قاريز حمزة ابن زيات. So his brother. عن أبي إسحاق, yeah, so this is أبو إسحاق السبيعي. عن العيزار ابن حريث عن ابن عباس عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من أقام الصلاة وآت الزكاة وحج وصام وقر الضيف دخل الجنة. قال أبو حاتم هو منكر لأن غيره من الثقات رواه عن أبي إسحاق موقوفا وهو المعروف. So this Hubayy ibn Habib has done ittisal of this hadith all the way to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whereas And the this Hubayb ibn Habib is Munkar. He's a very weak narrator. Yeah, he's Munkar. Whereas the more thicker narrators, when they narrated this hadith, they narrated it according to, they stopped at Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and they didn't do wasal of it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? So the dominant, what that basically means is that we accept that as mawquf. We don't accept it as muttasil to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the overwhelming thiqa evidence is that the hadith stops at Ibn Abbas, doesn't reach all the way to. So Ibn Abbas is the one who's saying, "Man aqama salata wa ata zakata wa hajja wa sama wa qara dhayfa dakhala al-jannah." It may be that the Prophet ﷺ did say this in other places, but at least for this isnad, yeah, we're looking. It may be that the Prophet ﷺ has said this, and the Prophet ﷺ has said this in other places, but we're talking about this particular hadith. The most of the scholars who narrate from Abu Ishaq al-Sabi'i, they have done mawquf of it on Ibn Abbas rather than muttasil, right? So if we look at other people, Jami' Ma'amar ibn Rashid. So Ma'amar ibn Rashid was a student of Imam Abdul Razzaq al-Sanani. So look, Akhbarana Abdul Razzaq. So this hadith is in the Musannaf of Abdul Razzaq. عن معمر عن أبي إسحاق عن العيزار أن ابن عباس أتاه الأعراب فقالوا yeah so it's موقوف. If we go to بيحقي شعب الإيمان right, if we go to بيحقي شعب الإيمان then we will see that also we have أخبرنا أبو الحسين بن بشران قال أخبرنا إسماعيل بن محمد الصفار أخبرنا منصور عبد الرزاق again من طريق عبد الرزاق Ma'amar an Abi Saq an al-Aizar ibn Hurayth an ibn Abbas. Again, it is mawquf ala ibn Abbas. And because Ma'amar al-Rashid, student of Abu Saq al-Sabi'i, Ma'amar al-Rashid is more thiqa than Hubayb ibn Habib, then we basically call this hadith that the version of Hubayb ibn Habib is basically munkar, and the version of Ma'amar Rashid, which is Mawquf ala Ibn Abbas, that is the Ma'ruf version of the hadith. Yeah?
Yeah.
So there we go. You got Ma'amar here, and then is Mawquf on Ibn Abbas, and Hubayb is Marfu on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, the word Munkar has got a number of meanings, right? The word munkar, the first meaning of munkar is when a weak rawi does mukhalafat in one of the isnads with a stronger rawi, right? Like the way we have here. The weaker rawi made the hadith muttasil, the stronger rawi did mawquf, right? That's called munkar. Similarly, other places where a hadith can be munkar is when there is fahsh ghalat, yeah? There's fahsh ghalat or there's khata, these places also are let me show you ta'an. Right, so fahsh ghalat, ghafla, and fisq. Can you see number 3, number 4, and number 5? Fahsh ghalat, ghafla, and fisq. So if there is obscene mistakes, or if there's negligence in accuracy, or if one of the narrators is fasiq, these also, the narration of these three types of people are also known as munkar. Does that make sense? So munkar has got multiple meaning. One is the mukhalafa, when a weak narrator does mukhalafa of a stronger narrator, that's called munkar. But also, so that's comparative. But here you also have when a narrator, he makes obscene mistakes, or he's negligent in his accuracy, or is a fasiq, the narration is also munkar. And sometimes we basically, sometimes even a thiqa rawi might make a mistake at times. So that's the second meaning, okay? And sometimes a thiqa rawi can also make mistakes and narrate something which is very obscure. So the ulama will basically say, ثِقَةٌ وَلَكِنْ لَهُ مَنَاكِيرٌ, that he's a thiqa rawi, but he's made some major mistakes here and there. For example, if we go back to my notes. Right, so here this is from Al-Muhaddith Al-Fasil by Imam Ram Hurmuzi. Al-Muhaddith Al-Fasil bayna Rabi wal-Wa'i. So this is something that just came up in my readings and I decided to add it. Qala Rasulullah man hafidha ala ummati 40 hadithan min amri dinaha ba'athallahu yawm al-qiyamati faqihan aliman. If you look at the Muhashshi, which is the Muhashshi and the Muhaqqiq of this book, is a very great, I'm not sure if he's still alive, maybe he's still alive, Sheikh Ajjaj al-Khatib. So he says, wa fi isnadihi, in the green bit, in the footnote, wa fi isnadihi Abbad ibn Ya'qub al-Rawajini min ghulati shi'a wa ru'us al-bid'a saduqun fil hadithi wa ma'ad. So this is ru'us al-bid'a and ghulati shi'a, but then still saying saduqun fil hadithi wa ma'a dhalika yarwi al-manakir kama qala Ibn Hibban. So example of a scholar of hadith, or supposed to thika, but also narrates munkar hadith. Yeah. So this is saduqun, means that we can tolerate this person, but still he has narrated some manakir. It might be because that he's the ghulat al-shi'a, and it's the Shi'i support of the Shi'i narration, which is basically being called manakir. But nevertheless, the point here is that the word munkar has more than one meaning. Okay, does that make sense?
Yes.
قال أبو حاتم هو منكر لأن غيره من الثقات رواه عن أبي إسحاق موقوفا وهو المعروف وعرف بهذا أن بين الشاذ والمنكر عموما وخصوصا من وجه. From this, it is understood that there is a umum khusus, how do I translate this? A general to specific relationship. Wajhin will be asymmetrical general to specific relationship. What that basically means is that both of them. So this is umum khusus min wajhin is different from umum khusus min mutlaq. Umum khusus mutlaq means one is greater, one is am, and the other one subsumes within the am, right? So for example, all women are human, but not all human are women. That's umum khusus mutlaq, right? Because the category of women, which is a khas category, subsumes under human, but not all of humans encompass women, because half of humans are also men. That's called umum khusus mutlaq. This is when the khas absolutely gets gobbled up by the am. That's called umum khusus mutlaq. But when the khas and am don't absolutely get, when the khas doesn't get absolutely gobbled up by the am, but that both of them share certain features, am features, and then both of them separate from each other because of their specificity, right? So for example, the shaz and the munkar share, the relationship that they share is both of them are related to concepts of mukhalafa. And how they differ is that shaz is mukhalafa of a thiqa than an awthaq. And munkar is mukhalafa of a weak to of a thiqa. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So they share some generic concepts, but also they separate in their specificity. Right, so this is why it says, لأن بينهما اجتماعا في اشتراط المخالفة, because between them there is اجتماع, congruence, as far as the condition of مخالفة is concerned. وافتراقا في أن الشاذ رواية ثقة أو صدوق, and there is difference in the sense في أن الشاذ, that shaz is the riwayah of a thiqa or a saduq, والمنكر رواية ضعيف, and the munkar is the riwayat of the weak narrator. وقد غفل من سوى بينهما والله تعالى أعلم. And the people who have made no distinction between them have forgot this point. Okay. For example, I have mentioned that it was the opinion of Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi that shadh is mutlaq mukhalafa, so within which comes mukhalafa to thiqa and mukhalafa to da'if. But what Imam Ibn Hajar is saying is waqad ghafala man sawwa baynahuma, that the person who has done taswiyah between them hasn't understood this point. That may be the case for people in his zamana, in Imam Ibn Hajar's time in the 9th century, who are not making a distinction between shaz and munkar. That may be the case, because the terminology got more refined and different terminologies were made. But certainly for Imam Shafi'i's time, there wasn't that understanding. So this critique of Imam Ibn Hajar will not apply to Imam Shafi'i, because in those times they didn't have those kind of terminologies. You know, it will apply now if people are not making a distinction. But if that distinction wasn't even there in the earlier communities, then you can't blame them for that. Wallahu a'lam. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Again, the other thing that you need to I've been iterating quite a bit in this book, is that this is Mustalah al-Hadith. Learn these terminologies and learn what they mean, but don't be so dogmatic about them, especially when you are trying to apply them to earlier ulama and communities, because this is a later development of ulum al-Hadith. Ulum al-Hadith then becomes very much a theoretical system rather than something that is to be applied. It just becomes theory for the sake of theory. And that's the major mistake that Sheikh Nasiruddin al-Albani made, was that he used Ibn Hajar to critique Imam Muslim. Yeah. Some of these new developments was not even available during Imam Muslim's time. So how can you critique him with later developments? That's basically back projection. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Any questions before we move on?
No.
Okay. وَمَا تَقَدَّمَ ذِكْرُهُ مِنَ الْفَرْضِ النِّسْبِ إِنْ وُجِدَ بَعْدَ ظَنِّ كَوْمِهِ فَرْضًا قَدْ وَافَقَهُ غَيْرُهُ فَهُوَ الْمُتَابِعُ بِكَسْرِ الْمُوَحَّدَةِ. Yeah. بِكَسْرِ الْمُوَحَّدَةِ. And what we mentioned about Fard Nisbi, and Fard Nisbi is where certain isnad lines are, there's tafarrud in certain isnad line. So let's say that somebody thought, so he says, Ba'da dhanni kawnihi fardan, qad wafaqahu ghayruhu, that let's say that you thought that a hadith is tafarrud, there's tafarrud in this hadith. That's your dhan, kawnihi fardan. You thought that this hadith is tafarrud, right? And then you were doing more research, and in doing your research, what you found is that, oh, actually, there are other isnad strands which also say exactly the same thing as this first isnad strand that I thought was tafarrud, yeah, it says exactly the same thing. Then these other isnad strands, we will basically call them mutabi'. Does that make sense? So in your assumption, so it's like, you know, sometimes you say, you assumed that somebody came, to London to see you on your own, and that was your assumption. And then when the person came, you realize that he brought a guest with him. Yeah. Only so you coming from Manchester to you know, London, that's a 4-hour journey. So for 4 hours, you're assuming that this person is coming on his own to see you. But then when he comes with a guest. So this is what he's talking about, that you thought that, that hadith was, and so you were worried about this person, yeah? That he's coming at nighttime, he's not very experienced, and you're worried that at nighttime he's not experienced and he's coming to you, something might happen. You're worried for him, something might happen, right? So for 4 hours, you were worried. And then when he came, you see that he comes with his dad, who was a very, he's a taxi driver, was a very experienced driver. And that just kind of, you sigh a relief, yeah? And, you know, you basically say, okay, now, alhamdulillah, I don't need to feel bad now, and I don't need to feel that anxiety when this person goes back because he's with his dad. This happens, right? Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. So similarly, it's the same thing. It's a hadith that you thought is tafarrud, or isnad is tafarrud, but then later on you find others supporting isnads which say exactly the same thing. Now, if you didn't have those supporting isnads, then you will have to cancel that journey. You'll have to say to this person, do you know what? I don't feel you're comfortable coming, so it's best if you don't come now or take the train or something like that. Yeah? So this is why saying, وَمَا تَقَدَّمَ ذِكْرُهُ مِنَ الْفَرْضِ النِّسْبِ, that which we have mentioned in فرض نِسْبِ, in وُجِدَ, if it is found, بَعْدَ ظَنِّ كَوْنِي فَرْضًا, after you thought that it was a hadith which is تَفَرُّد, قَدْ وَافَقَهُ غَيْرُهُ, that somebody else has also corroborated that information, then the person who's corroborated that information is called al-mutabi', the person who is the corroborator. Bikasri al-muwahhada, with the kasra on the... So do you know what muwahhada means?
No.
Yeah, okay, so this is very important, right? This is actually very, very important, because Arabic language is... okay, let me give you an example of this, right? So when you are doing an international bank transaction, yeah, and you give your name, yeah, to, let's say, Western Union, you're doing a bank transaction. And because... there may be people, if you say, so I'm doing a bank transaction, I'm saying Mansoor, right? A person might spell that name Nansoor, or they might spell it with double O, or they might spell it with the U, R. There's so many ways that that name can be spelled. But in order for it to be accurate, what do we use? We use the international phonetics. So I would say Mike, Alpha, November, Sierra, Umbrella, Romeo. Yeah? Everybody's yeah. International code. Everybody understand that there is no ambiguity. Yeah, Mike, Alpha, November, Sierra, Umbrella, Romeo. Yeah, Alpha, Lima, India. There's no ambiguity in that. This is exactly the same thing here. That in Arabic, they do this. Rather than doing the Fatha, Dhamma, Kasra, Arabic is not, you don't need to write Fatha, Dhamma, Kasra. And even if you do write it, there is no guarantee that the person who's typed it has not made a mistake. Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullahi alayhi, later on towards the end of the book, he's going to discuss one of the best books that have been ever written on names, but then he critiques it that it's got a lot of mistakes in it, because the person who wrote the book, I think it's Khatib or someone, they didn't do the, you know, the international code of recognition. And then the editors of the book went and made a mistake. Yeah. So this in Arabic is the same thing of, you know, Alpha, Lima, Delta. This is the same system in Arabic, right? So he says, بِكَسْرِ الْمُوَحَّدَ, with the kasra on the one dotted letter. So which is the one dotted letter here?
Ba.
Yeah? Ba. So what would have happened if there was a ba and the noon here? So there's no ambiguity here. We saw al-mutabi', he said bikasri al-muwahhada. There's only one letter here, right? With a one nuqta, muwahhada. So it's ba. So there's no ambiguity. Why if there was a noon here, right, in this word, under bar, kasr al-muwahada won't work, then you need to define it. Bikasr al-muwahada at-tahtaniya. Yeah? The muwahada, kasra of the one dot which is at the bottom. Bikasr al-muwahada at-tahtaniya. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. I haven't seen them basically. So they always use tahtaniya. Have I seen them use fawqiya? I don't think I've seen fawqiya. So if it was noon and ba there, right? It would have just, if it was the noon, then they would have said because al muwahada al fawqiya. I don't think I've seen al fawqiya. Maybe I'm wrong. But definitely would have said because al muwahada at tahtaniya. Right. If he was to say that he wants to give a kasra on the ta, he will say bikasr al-muthannat. Yeah?
Yes.
Muthannat, two dotted. If it was a yada, then we'll say bikasr al-muthanna at-tahtaniya. Right? If it was the ayn here, which needs a kasra, then he would basically say bikasr al-muhmal. Muhmal basically means it doesn't have any dots on it, because al muhmal al akhira or al ula al awsat. So this is how they do it: muwahada, muthanna, muthallas, tahtaniya, fawqiya, muhmal, so that there is no ambiguity. Does that make sense?
Makes sense.
Yes, you will see this in classical books. They do this over and over and over again. Right, when they, because here you can have this as mutaba', you can have this as mutabi'. So he's trying to say it's the supplementary isnads, the isnads which are supporting, they're the mutabi', and your isnad, the one that you thought was tafarrud, that's mutaba'. Yeah, bi fathil muwahada, mutaba', bi fathil muwahada. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I don't know if there is if there is a book on this. This is something just istiqra, but I'm sure, like, for example, Nawab Siddiq Hassan Khal Bhopali has a book called Abjadul Ulum. Abjadul Ulum is about everything, about all the different topics and all these little things. Maybe he's got it in there. You will get somebody writing about these things, my best bet will be Abjadul Ulum by Siddiq Hassan Khan Bhopali. Right? But that's important to understand this, right? Because then it's precise. Mulla Ali Qari, in the sharah of this book, he has got a sharah of this book, he does that quite a lot. And sometimes it's very, very helpful as well. Yeah, because it can easily be mistaken, because we don't know fahuwa. With the huwa, is it going towards the tafarrud or is it going towards the man wafaqahu ghayruhu? So it can easily be confused. Yeah?
Yeah.
So this is, now we are coming to talk about mutaba'ah. Mutaba'ah is corroboration. Okay? There are certain ulum or certain chapters in the entire ulum al-hadith which all the other topics in Ulum al-Hadith pivots around them. Number one was the definition of Sahih. The entire Ulum al-Hadith is basically a fluctuation of intensity and less intensity of the five definitions of Sahih. Yeah, that's what the entire Ulum al-Hadith. If there is a difference in one of those definitions, then your hadith is shaz, or your hadith is mazid fi muttasil al-sanad, or your hadith is da'if, right? So the entire ulum al-hadith rests upon the five qualities of the definition of sahih. Another topic upon which the entire edifice of ulum al-hadith relies upon is the concept of mutaba'ah, right? With the concept of mutaba'ah, so when you say, and I must have told you this before, how do we ascertain that this rawi is thiqa and this rawi is da'if and this rawi is hasan? How do we ascertain that? Have I told you this before?
No, not that I recall.
Okay, you ascertain by comparing. So mutaba'ah is comparison. It's like mutaba'a, it's like witness corroboration in court, right?
Okay.
So the muhaddithun are basically like critical historians in the sense that they are trying to establish that whatever is purported to come from the Prophet ﷺ, does it actually come from the Prophet ﷺ? So they're like investigative journalists or critical historians. This is what they're establishing. That's the maqsad, the ghaya. So they're like critical historians. But in their approach, they are like lawyers. Yeah, and they just recently, in from America, a PhD thesis has been completed. I haven't seen the PhD yet because it's an embargo. It'll take two more years for it to be out of the embargo. And it exactly touches on this point of the difference between shahada and riwayah. So you'll see a lot of the times the ulama refer to the concept of shahada because hadith corroboration is like shahada. Right. In fact, when we, the next topic is called Shahid. So hadith scholars, in their action, the way that they do doing isnad analysis and coming to, although they're critical historians, but the way they do it is they act like lawyers. Right? And what they're doing is they are doing witness corroboration and cross-witnessing, you know, cross-examining the witnesses. And one of the ways of doing that is to get corroboration, corroboratory information. Okay, so the entire edifice of ulumul hadith is based on this fact, even to the basics of how do we know that Imam Malik is a thiqarawi, how do we know that Imam Bukhari is a how do we know just 1 minute, sorry. Just 1 minute.
Yeah, sure.
So I was basically saying that the entire edifice of ulum al-hadith. So when we say, how did we come, Hussein, to the conclusion that Imam Bukhari is thiqarawi, or Imam Ahmad is a thiqarawi, or Imam Malik is a thiqarawi, or Abdurrahman al-Mahdi, or Yahya ibn Ma'in, or Abu Hatim al-Razi the thiqarawi, and somebody else, Muhammad bin Sa'id al-Maslub, is a fabricated rawi. How did we come to that conclusion? Who decides that the fiqh rawi? Yeah, Hussein, it's a question to you.
I'll guess the contemporaries.
Okay, contemporaries of Bukhari might basically give him a certificate that he's trustworthy, we trust him. But what about Imam Malik, who wasn't a contemporary of Bukhari? And Imam Bukhari did the original research. So how do they arrive at that? I'll tell you how they arrive at that. Let's say Imam Malik. Yeah, we take Imam Malik, and we want to ascertain. Let's say we don't know who Malik is. Right, it's the first time we are observing him. Now we want. Let's say Imam, for the sake of brevity and the sake of easiness, we know that Imam Malik has narrated 100 hadith. Yeah, but we still don't know the status of him. We don't know what kind of narrator he is. So what do we do? We take hadith number one, of Malik, and then we basically see how many other people of Malik. Let's say Imam Malik is studying a hadith from Abdullah ibn Dinar. Yeah. And he's studying this hadith from Abdullah ibn Dinar. Now, then we need to ascertain how many other students of Abdul ibn Dinar heard the same hadith, maybe at the same time as Malik, but maybe different times, right? But they're all students of Abdul ibn Dinar, and they're narrating the same hadith. Again, let's for the sake of ease, we say that. It's 1 minute. So let's say 9 other students, along with Imam Malik, right, studied this hadith with Abdul ibn Dinar. So what we basically do is we take Malik on one side. He's the guy that we're researching. We want to ascertain what is his status. So we take him, make him the center, look at the hadith that he narrated, okay? And then we make a comparison, mutaba'ah. We make a comparison of all 9 riwayat, all 9 of the other students and that hadith that they have mentioned. And then we basically see how much deviation is there of Malik from the other students. If the deviation is minimal, you know, one word here or there, and that he is like 95% of his riwayat is matching the others, then we'll basically say, okay, we give a tick to hadith number 1. Then we go to hadith number 2. Hadith number 2, he narrated from Nafi'ah. There were other students who were with him, 9 other students with him when he was narrating from Nafi'ah. So we look at his narration, and then we look at the 9 narration, and we see basically what the standard deviation is. And we do that with all 100 of his narrations by doing mutaba'a comparison. And then we basically come to a conclusion of how much is he deviating from his classmates. If he's deviating in nearly every single hadith, then we'll say this person is making major mistakes. If he's hardly deviating, we never say 100% because at the end of the day, wal ismatu lillahi wa rasuli. If he's hardly deviating, then we can basically say that actually he's a reliable. When you say dabt, adalatul rawi, dabtur, this is talking about dabtur rawi, his thiqa. How do we know that he's thiqa? Because we made the comparison and we realized that he is accurately narrating because his other classmates in the 100 hadiths, they have corroborated. After those 100 hadiths, we can basically say, do you know what? We've checked him out, we've investigated him, he's a reliable narrator. Now, you do this with every single hadith scholar in every single tabaqa, with every single hadith they have narrated, and compare it with every single one of their classmates. And that's how you come to the conclusion of who is a thiqah, who is hasan, who is da'if, who is muttaham bil kidh, who is munkar. That's how Bukhari Muslim did it. Nowadays, like people like Imam Ibn Hajar, and Abdul Ghani and Nablusi, Abdul Ghani and Maqdisi and Imam Al-Mizzi and Zahabi and Suyuti and all of them, they have done all the legwork. They have compiled it, right, for us. Now all we need to do is we need to go to a 2-volume work. We don't even need to go to Tahzib al-Tahzib, which is 18 volumes. We don't need to go to Tahzib al-Kamal, which is 30 volumes. We can just go to Imam Ibn Hajar, Taqrib al-Tahzib, 2-volume work, and just look up the entry, and the very first person will say, Abdul ibn Abbas, sahabiyun thiqatun, right? Or Malik, thiqatun, amirul mu'mineen. And that's it. We close the book and we say, okay, this is, right? But the amount of work that went in to come to that just one word, thiqatun, it is phenomenal. And this is Bukhari and Muslim and Tirmizi and, you know, Imam Ahmad al Hanbal. That's what they were doing. Now, when you say thiq, when we say a rawi is thiqatun, yeah, the amount of amount of programming that went behind that to arrive at that conclusion, right, it is phenomenal. Does that make sense? It's like a computer, right? I'm on my keyboard and I'm pressing A, and on my when I'm pressing A on my Word document, the letter A comes up. Simple as. But do you know how much programming has went behind that just for that A to come up onto your screen at that particular moment, at that, you know, the amount of programming that's gone, but nobody sees that, you see? So this is, so the basis of ascertaining the rawi and the status of a rawi is through mutaba'a. The basis of ascertaining whether a hadith is sahih or not is by comparing the isnad analysis. Again, is by mutaba'a. It's all, everything is to do with comparison. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
This is why the mutaba'a and shawahid are one of the most important topics in the entire edifice of ulum al-hadith, and you need to understand this. If I was to give an example, if the five qualifications of sahih is from which the origins, yeah, of ulum al-hadith stems from, then the mechanism for that is mutaba'a and shawahid. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So when you say mutaba'a and shawahid, is that like a kind of like combined term? Or is that two separate things?
Mutaba'a and shahid are two terms. They come under a category called al-i'tibar, which is coming. Yeah?
Okay.
Well, mutaba'a ala maratib. Mutaba'a is of different levels. In hasalat lirrawi nafsahu fahiya tamma. If the corroboration happens at the level of the rawi, this is called mutaba'a tamma. Wa in hasalat li shaykhihi faman fawqahu fahiya al-qasira. If the mutaba'a happens at the level of the shaykh of the rawi or above that, then this is called mutaba'a qasira. Okay, so the mutaba'a tamma, mutaba'a qasira, wa yustafadu minha at-taqwiyah, and the benefit of mutaba'a is taqwiyah, fortification. Mithalu al-mutaba'a ma rawahu Shafi'i fil Umm. The example of mutaba'a is what Imam Shafi'i has narrated in the an Malik, an Abdullah ibn Dinar, an Ibn Umar, أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الشهر 29 فلا تصوموا حتى تروا الهلال ولا تفطروا حتى تروه فإن غم عليكم فأكملوا العدة 30. Yeah. فإن غم عليكم, if it is cloudy, then complete 30 days. فهذا الحديث بهذا اللفظ ظن قوم أن الشافعية تفرد به عن مالك فعدوه وفعدوه في غرائبه. This word فأكملوا العدة 30, some people thought that this is from تفرد of Imam Shafi'i from Malik, and they basically said this, they counted that as from the غريب أحاديث of Imam Shafi'i. Why? لأن أصحاب مالك رواه عنه بهذا الإسناد باللفظ فإن غم عليكم فقدروا له. Because the أصحاب of مالك, all, so the مرجع of this إسناد is Imam Malik. All of the students of Imam Malik other than الشافعي has narrated this hadith by saying فإن غم عليكم فقدروا له. Right? If it's cloudy, then see what you want to do, like calculate. Whereas the Shafi'i's narration is فَإِنْ غُمَّ عَلَيْكُمْ فَأَكْمِلُ الْعِدَّةَ ثَلَاثِينَ. If it is, if it is cloudy, then complete 30 days. The difference between the two versions has a different in fiqh. Imam Shafi'i's riwayat is basically saying, if it is cloudy, you always complete 30 days, right? But the other riwayat is basically saying, if it is cloudy, then do a bit more work to ascertain whether tomorrow should be Eid, or whether you should fast one more day and then the day after should be Eid. Can you see the difference in the, yeah. In the yeah, right. So Some people thought that this is from the gharaib of Imam Shafi'i, because Imam, all of Imam Malik's students, they say, فَإِنْ غُمَّ عَلَيْكُمْ فَقَدُرُوا لَهُ. So therefore, this is gharib. This is tafarrud, right, of Imam Shafi'i. Right. So remember, tafarrud is the opposite of, tafarrud is the opposite of mutaba'a. That's why he started off the discussion. وَمَا تَقَدَّمَ ذِكْرُهُ مِنَ الْفَرْدِ النِّسْبِ إِنْ وُجِدَ بَعْدَ ظَنِّ كَوْنِهِ كَوْنِهِ فَرْدًا. So tafarrud is the opposite of mutabi', so mutabi', and then we got tafarrud or gharib. So some people thought that this is from the gharib of Imam Shafi. Now obviously, the reality has opened up to us, but this is the people who were living in Imam Shafi's time or immediately after living, immediately after Imam Shafi's time. So it's the time of Imam Ahmad, right? That tabaqa, when they were looking into this, because all of the different versions of the hadith didn't come to them, so because Shafi'i being quite famous, they basically thought that and Shafi'i is the one who's written a book, they thought that okay, all of the other evidences that we find from Imam Malik, which are documented in books, right, we basically find that it says faqaduru lahu, so Shafi'i might be this might be a ghareeb. Yeah. But so let's look at what is happening here. Right. So look, this is the riwayat of Musnad of Imam Shafi'i. Yeah. The riwayat of Musnad Imam Shafi'i, akhbarna Malik. So I'm looking at the green one, okay? Akhbarna Malik an Abdi ibn Dinar, akhbarna Malik an Abdullah ibn Dinar an Abdullah ibn Umar. So at the end, can you see the bit in red? فَأَكْمِلُ الْعِدَّةَ ثَلَاثِينَ. So if you look at the Muwatta of Imam Malik, the second line, okay, I'll just put a dot there so that you know that which line I am following. So I'm looking at this line here. This is the actual Muwatta, Yahya ibn Yahya al-Laysi al-Andalusi from Abdullah ibn Dinar, okay, from Abdullah ibn Umar. He says, فَإِنْ غُمَّ عَلَيْكُمْ فَقْدُرُوا لَهُ. Yeah, if we go to the next one, which is the Muwatta of Imam Malik with the riwayat of Abu Mus'ab, حدثنا Abu Mus'ab قال حدثنا Malik, again is فقدروا له. Yeah, فقدروا له. If we go to the Muwatta of Imam Muhammad, أخبرنا Malik قال حدثنا نافع وعبد الله بن عمر. So there's two teachers of Imam Malik here, نافع and عبد الله بن دينار. Again is فإن غمى عليكم فقدروا له. And Imam Muhammad, he says, وَقَالَ مُحَمَّدْ وَبِهَذَا نَأْخُذُ وَهُوَ قَوْلُ أَبِي حَنِيفَةَ. So something got muddled up here in the text. So وَقَالَ مُحَمَّدْ وَبِهَذَا نَأْخُذُ وَهُوَ قَوْلُ أَبِي حَنِيفَةَ. This is the Muwatta ibn Malik, riwayat Muhammad ibn Hassan al-Shaybani. If we go into the Musnad Ahmad, in the Musnad Ahmad, we have got different riwayats now. These are Nafi' and it's not Imam Malik, right? If you go to Darimi, then we find it's Nafi and it's Ayyub, so we don't really need to look at those, because we are looking at Malik's riwayat, okay? We're not looking at the other. So Malik is our person that we're looking at. But I mentioned those here, that even the non-Maliki riwayat and the non-Abdullah ibn Dinar riwayat also have faqduru lahu. Yeah? The Musnad Ahmad is non-Malik, non-Abdullah ibn Dinar. Is faqduru lahu. The Musnad Darimi one is non-Malik, non-Abdullah ibn Dinar, but is faqduru lahu. The Muslim riwaya again is basically non-Malik, non-Abdullah ibn Dinar, فَإِنْ غُمَّ عَلَيْكُمْ فَقْدُرُوا لَهُ. So there is a concerted, we can see that Imam Shafi'i is on his own. Imam Shafi'i is on his own. So Imam Shafi'i's riwayat is on the cusp of being rejected as Shaz, even though Imam Shafi'i is thiqah, but Yahya ibn Yahya al-Laysi and Abu Mus'ab and others, all there's quantitatively too much people of the same caliber, that on the basis of arjah, Shafi'i's riwayat was on the verge of being rejected as Shaz, okay? Because he's got no corroboration. He's gharib. He's got no corroboration there. Until Imam Bukhari comes by and he saves the day, Imam Bukhari narrates from his teacher, Abdullah ibn Maslama al-Qa'ana bih, qala haddasana Malik, an Abdullah ibn Dinar, an Abdullah ibn Umar, radiyallahu anhuma, anna Rasulullah sallam qala asharu tis'u'ishuna layla falan tasum hatta taraw fa'in ghumma alaykum fa'akmilu l'iddata thalathin. Therefore, now this becomes a mutaba'a tamma for Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi. Abdullah ibn Maslama has done mutaba'a tamma of Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Now, what is mutaba'a qasira? Mutaba'a qasira basically means somebody is doing mutaba'a of Imam Shafi'i. So the discussion is with Imam Shafi'i, right? The discussion is with Imam Shafi'i. You can make anyone in the isnad your point of focal, and then everything will be around that person. Our focus point is Imam Shafi'i, right? So the discussion is with Imam Shafi'i. Imam Shafi'i has got mutaba'a tamma in Abdullah ibn Maslam al-Qa'anabi, who is Imam Bukhari's teacher, but also he has got a mutaba'a also in Asim, right? This which is in the riwayat is in Sahih ibn Khuzaymah, Asim an Abihi Muhammad ibn Asim an Jaddihi Abdullah ibn Umar, right? So Asim is a contemporary of Abdullah ibn Dinar. Yeah? Or Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Dinar is a his father, Muhammad ibn Asim, Muhammad ibn Zayd, sorry, his name is Muhammad Asim ibn Muhammad ibn Zayd ibn, I think it's called Muhammad ibn Zayd. I'll have to look him up. Imam Ibn Hajar talks. So, an abihi, an abihi, an Ibn Umar. So, this person, an abihi, is actually the son of Ibn Umar. In this riwayat, we say, fa'in ghumma alaykum fa'akmilu thalathin. This is a mutaba'a of Imam Shafi'i at the level of his teacher, Imam Malik. Okay. And also, so it's Asim is on the level of Imam Malik. Abihi is on the level of Abdullah ibn Dinar. So Imam Shafi'i's teacher is Malik, and Malik contemporary is Asim. So Imam Shafi'i has a mutaba'a in his teacher's level, which is fa'akmilu thalathin. So for him, that is mutaba'a qasira, and before Imam Malik, that is mutaba'a tamma. Because if you look at Imam Malik here, right, in all of this, Imam Malik does not have a mutaba'a, yeah, in fa'akmilul. So Imam Shafi'i has got a mutaba'a in Abdullah ibn Maslama al-Qa'nabi. But Imam Malik does not have a mutaba'a for fa'akmilul iddata thalathin, because all of the other ones is faqdiru lahu. Even in this Qa'nabi's one, Imam Malik does not have a mutaba'a because there's only one ustaz. Therefore, Imam Malik has got a mutaba'a tamma in Asim, and that mutaba'a tamma of Imam Malik in Asim is a mutaba'a qasira for Imam Shafi'i. Does that make sense, Hussein?
Yes. So the hadith in Bukhari is the mutaba'a tamma
for Shafi'i.
Imam Shafi'i, and then the hadith in Ibn Khuzaymah is a mutaba'a for Imam Malik.
No, it's the mutaba'a qasira for Imam Shafi'i, but mutaba'a tamma for Imam Malik.
Okay. So depending on how you... Okay, so something could be...
It's all relative. It depends on who is your person that you're looking at.
So if we're looking at Shafi'i, then this is a mutaba'a qasira. And if we're looking at Imam Malik, then this is a mutaba'a tamma.
Yeah.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah. Let's look at it from here. Ibn Umar. Yeah. Ibn Umar, in this hadith, has got three students. Abdul ibn Dinar, Muhammad ibn Zayd. So Muhammad ibn Zayd is his son. Muhammad ibn Zayd ibn Abdul ibn Umar. Yeah. And then Nafi'. So this, can you see the black Asim ibn Muhammad?
Yeah.
So Asim ibn Muhammad ibn Zayd ibn Umar. this is the family tree. Yeah. Asim ibn Muhammad ibn Zayd ibn Abdullah ibn Umar. So this is the family tree. So if we were to take Imam Shafi'i, the black one, right? Imam Malik from Ibn Dinar has got a number of students. Al-Laythi, Yahya ibn Yahya al-Laythi, Abu Mus'ab, and then also Imam Muhammad al-Shaybani. Yahya ibn Yahya al-Laythi, Abu Mus'ab, and Imam Muhammad ibn al-Shaybani all say, فَقْدُرُوا لَهُ. So they are mutaba'a tamma of each other. But Imam al-Shafi'i also has a mutaba'a tamma in Muhammad ibn Maslama al-Qa'nabi. Abdullah ibn Muslim al-Qa'nabi. Yeah, does that make sense? Can you see the mutaba'a?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, in this very same hadith, right, Imam Malik is on the level of this tabqa here, Asim ibn Muhammad and Ubaidullah. So the riwayat of Asim ibn Muhammad and the riwayat of Ubaidullah also has faqduru lahu. So then the faqduru lahu becomes a mutaba'a tamma for Malik, but a mutaba'a qasira for Shafi'i and Qa'nabi. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
Just a quick question again, slightly not off topic, but you said Asim is the son of, so it's Muhammad Asim ibn Muhammad, and it's Muhammad ibn Zayd.
Yeah.
But if Muhammad ibn Zayd, how could Muhammad ibn Zayd be the son of Abdullah ibn Umar? If his dad's name is Zayd.
Yeah.
So Abdullah ibn Umar, his name is Zayd.
So no, I think this is, sorry, is Muhammad ibn Zayd ibn Muhammad ibn Zayd ibn Abdullah ibn Umar. So Muhammad is the grandson of ibn Umar. Zayd is the son of ibn Umar.
Okay, so it's Abdullah ibn Umar, then it's Zayd, then it's Muhammad, then it's
Asim. Then it's Muhammad, then it's Asim. Yeah.
Okay, but so Zayd isn't in the Sanad.
Sorry?
He's not in the Sanad. Zayd isn't in the Sanad.
No, Zayd is not in the Sanad.
Okay, yeah.
Zayd is not in the Sanad. Sorry, yeah. So, so this is what he says. فهذا الحديث بهذا اللفظ ظن قوم أن الشافعي تفرد به عن مالك فعدوه في غرائبه. So if he's from his غرائب, then the, because the hadith is in contradiction, the two hadiths, فأكمل العدة ثلاثين أن فقدروا له, they're in contradiction. Imam Shafi's one would have been knocked out as a shaz, right? It still will be accepted as a thiqa rawi, but there won't be any practice on it, right? لأن أصحاب مالك رواه عنه بهذا الإسناد باللفظ فإنهم عليكم فضل لكن وجدنا للشافعي متابعا وهو عبد الله بن مسلمة القعنبي كذلك أخرجه البخاري عنه عن مالك وهذه متابعة تامة ووجدنا له أيضا so له who is that ووجدنا للشافعي أيضا متابعة قاصرة في صحيح ابن خزيمة من رواية عاصم بن محمد عن أبيه محمد بن زيد عن جده عبد الله so جده أي جد عاصم yeah عن جده عن جده محمد. جد محمد جد yeah. محمد yeah because then you have the other isnad isn't it عمرو بن شعيب عن أبيه عن جده and then there's a whole confusion of who is the isnad going to so عن جدي عبد الله بن عمر بلفظ فأكملوا فكملوا ثلاثين وفي صحيح مسلم من رواية عبيد الله بن عمر عن نافع عن ابن عمر بلفظ فقدروا ثلاثين so Imam Shafi'i so he's giving you the example of متابعة تامة and متابعة قاصرة Imam Shafi'i actually has got متابعة تامة and متابعة قاصرة in so both of these situations. ولا اقتصار في هذه المتابعة سواء كانت تامة أم قاصرة على اللفظ بل لو جاءت بالمعنى كفى. It does not, in order for it to be متابعة تامة أو قاصرة, it does not need to be only that those words. As far as the meaning is concerned, if the meaning is the same, paraphrase, then it's fine. ولكنها مختصة بكونها من رواية ذلك الصحابي. The only condition for it to be a mutaba'a is that it needs to be specific to that sahabi, right? If there is another sahabi, like for example, there is a riwayat of Abu Huraira رضي الله تعالى عنه who talks about this issue as well. that is not going to be a mutaba'a of this hadith. It's going to be a shahid. So in order for mutaba'a happens between isnads. Mutaba'a, the way you differentiate between mutaba'a and shahid is mutaba'a happens within one hadith. How do we define one hadith? That it's you're looking at this hadith of that same sahabi, and the mutaba'a happens within the isnad strands of that hadith. All of the hadiths going back to that same sahabi. But if you are going to compare the riwayats of different sahabis on that particular topic, then that's not called mutaba'a, that's called shahid. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, we will broach that topic. Do you have any questions? We will talk about that topic next week, inshallah. This time has finished.
Okay, JazakAllah.
JazakAllah khair. And inshallah, I will see you next week. Okay,
Assalamu alaikum.